from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Full show today. We're going all the way until 7 o'clock and have some very interesting Jerry Jones quotes. Clarence Hill, formerly of the Star-Telegram, now with, I think we're going to call this alldallas.com. Is that probably what we're looking at? It's ALLDLLS.com. Mm-hmm. And I believe this is Clarence Hill's first article on his new media outlet. So congrats on the new gig.
It's a hell of a splash for the first article.
Yeah.
Yep. It's going all the way around the damn world.
It is, dude. And the headline, why Jerry Jones will remain Dallas Cowboys owner / GM, quote, there's nobody that can bleep and come in here and be a GM any better than I can. What do you think? The Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open for you at 877-881-1053. Leave your name and city you're texting from. What do you think when you hear that quote from Jerry Jones?
You know, with guys like a Will McClay and Alex Loomis and guys like that, yeah, sure. Me being a, you know, me and pro personnel and others, and we didn't help him when he was first, like in the early 2000s, to be a very good general manager. He's done a much better job, I think, of listening and trusting his guys. And I think that's the biggest thing that you can learn, or that you can talk about Jerry Jones. All the mistakes that we made in the early 2000s, and maybe some of that even with after Parcells and then Wade Phillips and others, you know, you got a guy in there in a Will McClay that knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to set the board up the right way. He's going to find ways to manipulate the roster and make it where it needs to be. There's no doubt their players are good. There's a lot of general managers around the league that would love to have this roster, you know. But as far as the general manager stuff and all that, I think he's gotten better at it. When we were with him, he sucked, okay? He honestly sucked as a general manager. But now I think that he's learned there's things that he can do to make this thing better and different. And I think that's what's helped him. It's a shame that that he didn't have that earlier in his tenure as an owner.
He has gotten better, but I don't think you could say I'm the best, you know, when you're not winning at all.
Well, that's, but no, they're winning. They're winning games. They're not winning championships.
And that's why I think maybe he actually believes this, you know. Huh. I wonder, is he just being stubborn like Rob Ryan? Oh, hell, I'm the best DC in the NFL. Yeah. I'll have a job here before I put the phone down. I don't know if Jerry's just, you know, kind of doing his thing and being prideful and you know, or he looks at making the playoffs and the draft success that they've had, and he genuinely thinks what you do as a front office is you put your team in the playoffs and then you hope to get lucky.
Yeah, where he's had some problems, though, is if you look at, though, with the playoff success or lack of.
Yes.
That's, you know, that's okay. That's your coach. That's maybe some of the players, you know.
That's how good your roster is.
Yeah. Well, you look at, they're good enough every year to win the division and win 12 games.
Because it's a crappy division.
Well, it's football, it's the NFL. You know, there's a lot of teams that would love to win 36 games the last 3 years. There's a lot of teams that would love to be in that situation. They're not.
Right.
But what you have is you've gotten, when you get into playoffs, your best players play like crap, all of them. That's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, that's now your evaluation as a general manager is like, okay, do you move on from this guy? He might be moving on from his quarterback.
Both games against the 49ers, your defense played well.
Played great.
Yeah.
Played great. You find a way, your quarterback, your receiver, your running game, your offensive line, your offensive play caller let you down in that game. You know, they got manhandled. Their coach, their defensive coordinator in that game was hunting up another job.
But you know how good your offense and defense has to be, Brian. It was true about your Green Bay Packers teams. Yeah. It was true about the Cowboys in the 90s.
We got smoked. We were a good football team in the 90s.
Yeah.
We were a good football team. Cowboys showed us that what it took to win these championships, though.
Because it requires a higher level. And if you're not building a team capable of winning in January, you're not really doing a good job as a front office. You can't hide behind, we win regular season games
that's,
and draft
You know
well.
What? That's that, it. It that, that's if that's how they, you know, teams would look at, they give awards. They don't give awards to these guys for executive of the year for winning the Super Bowl. You're right, but they don't. But that's, I'm not saying that's how you should evaluate, but if you look at his roster, it's a damn good roster. It really is. I mean, he's going to have potentially, if they were to sign Dak and they signed Parsons, they've got three of the top players paying at their position, right?
Yeah.
All players that were drafted.
Yeah, but you can't get out of the first round. How good are you really?
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You can't stop the run, and you can't run.
What did they do?
What did they do to
try and stop the run this year? They're not playing dime linebackers the whole damn day. Yeah. That was a problem. They got legitimate linebackers. They went out. They didn't say, you know what, that general manager.
You said it was a great roster. They didn't have any linebackers.
That general manager right there you're looking at the general manager. He's probably looking at his team going, we're not very good at defensive tackle. They could have sat there and said, Mozzie Smith, Carl Davis, we're good. No, they go out and get legitimate players that they feel like can help. That's trying. They've added more players to their roster at training camp than any other team.
Well, that's because they added nobody up until then.
Yeah.
Here's Eric Kendricks in the draft class.
Sure. And that's, you know, they're looking at it as, okay, maybe we can afford this guy.
So do you really think Jerry Jones is doing a great job?
Do you think he's justified
saying nobody could do a better bleeping job than me?
I think he's justified as saying that his roster is good. That, I mean, to say you're the best, yeah, that's maybe a little long. But if you look at his roster overall, I'm just telling you, there's guys around the league that are like, damn, I'd like to have Micah Parsons. I passed on him. How about all those teams that passed on CeeDee Lamb? How about all the teams that didn't draft Dak Prescott? And we'll see what happens with Dak Prescott. You know, we'll see if he gets his $60 million here. He might not. That general manager might say, I ain't paying you $60 million. And Eric, am I wrong? That would make you super happy right now if they didn't give him $60 million.
Yeah, I think that would be the smart
play.
Okay,
is that a good general manager move then?
It would be in my mind, yeah, but it doesn't make up for all the other poor decisions that you've made to this entire point. It's almost more of an indictment. You have a good roster and you continually S the bed when it matters, then
that's what I'm saying.
What are you doing wrong? As the owner and general manager, your fingerprints are all over this thing.
Absolutely,
your coaching staff.
He wears that. You can't hire a coach, man. He wears that. He wears that. I mean, that's the thing about it is, as a general manager, you have to wear that. But, you know, when you win 12 games and when you win divisions and stuff, yeah, it's not the Super Bowl or playoffs. Yeah, those players I talk about have let them down in big, big games. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So to me, that's kind of one of those things like, okay, maybe I've got to do better.
You're putting it on the players not winning these playoff games?
I'm saying the coach has not been very good.
Really critical. That's a Jerry problem. He can't hire a coach.
That's what I'm saying. Now, maybe he's going to get an opportunity. He's going to let this guy run out. But I guarantee you that coach is going to get another job somewhere because he's won games.
Yeah.
With a crappy franchise.
But if you want to compare yourself to the Raiders and the Jets and just teams that just sucked eye heaven, then that's fine if that's what you want to do. If you want to compare yourself to the worst, then sure, you can look like the best all day. That's great. You don't look like the top tier. You don't look like the tier that's consistently in a conference championship game.
That's
what the best do.
Well, okay, but every year, the fact that they're not a 4-12 team every year.
Yes, you get credit for that. You're above average.
You're above average. You know, but you're winning 12 games, you're winning divisions. Yeah, they get in the playoffs and they poop in the bed. You're absolutely right about that.
And it sucks.
And for various times it's happened, but you can blame the general manager, fine. But blame the quarterback, blame the receiver, blame the line, blame all those people.
I will.
You know? That's fine. But you'll be happy. You'll say, Jerry made the right move when they don't sign Dak Prescott to $60 million.
You know, I don't know how much I can blame some of these players, though, when we're not having the same level of ability with our teammates that
not
the real
covering,
contenders
and
are.
There's many guys that were running Scott ass free in that secondary in that Green Bay game.
It was embarrassing. Yeah.
It was embarrassing.
That's because you show up for NFL seasons with like two corners at an NFL level or three at most.
How about cover somebody? How about cover somebody? Bland was out there. Cover somebody. But Gilmore, cover somebody.
The Rams are like, we got to cover somebody. Tampa's like, we got to cover somebody. Yeah. Who are the best possible corners available in free agency and trades? Those are the guys we're going to get because we want to win the Super Bowl. The Cowboys are like, who's the cheapest available that could theoretically start?
Do you not like Bland? Do you like Diggs?
You got two good corners.
That's what I'm saying. They might have got another one, too, with this Carson kid that they're going to have to play.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you say maybe, but at least, you know, I feel good about watching him play. It's not like they're going to have to go off the street and they're going to say, oh, Booth is going to be our guy. You know, I mean, they went to me. You watch that kid play. He's got a chance.
Jerry Jones says, I've done it all, so I have an inordinate amount of confidence that bleep, if anybody can figure out how to get this bleep done, I can figure out how to get it done. I've been there every which way from Sunday, and have I busted my ass a bunch? There's nobody living that's out cutting and shooting that can't give you a bunch of times they busted their butt. So, hell, no, there's nobody that could bleep and come in here and do all the contracts and be a GM any better than I can. Plus, I'm where the buck stops. When it bleeps up, I got to cover it. Yeah. And so there you can't give anybody enough, can't give. There's nobody that can do it, says Jerry Jones.
Fired up, dude. That's three F's and an S in four sentences.
But he's talking about getting it done, figuring it out and getting it done. He's not even trying to take credit for what's, you know, the 12-win seasons.
Right, but he has to also look at himself in the mirror and say, hey, we haven't got it done in playoffs. That's the general manager's job right there.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Well, I don't want to bet on a guy that's been trying for three decades and hasn't got it done. I think the report card is pretty convincing that you don't know what it takes. And right now you're up there at the podium in Oxnard and Mike McCarthy's saying it like, listen, who said it was going to be easy to win 12 games 3 years in a row? Yeah. We're doing a hell of a job. Yeah. Jerry's like, I don't understand that you say the fans are apathetic. They're doing a great job.
Nobody's happy about what's going on right now.
He's talking about season tickets being sold. I think the difference between how the media and fans measure success compared to Jerry Jones has never been bigger. If, you know, he thinks he's anywhere remotely close to that, it's delusional to say
there's a lot of delusional general manager. There's a lot of guys that are football guys like me that aren't getting it done either.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's finding a way.
He deserves to be dunked all over right now.
Well, you know what? He's finding ways to win games and win titles or divisions. And there's guys around the league that we call football guys that ain't getting it done.
Yeah.
You know, so let's be fair about
that. Well, what he's done is surrounded himself with a lot of brilliant football people, a great scouting staff that allows him to be an incompetent GM and still make the playoffs.
Which is funny because one of his quotes in here is, the reason I don't let somebody else be the GM is because I don't have anybody that I will let do it to actually do it right. And they're going to have to come to me. And because I know where it is that you're going to pay for it. Because he's like, I have the owner hat and goggles and general manager goggles. And for him, that gives him a huge advantage because he understands the whole picture all the time. But I don't imagine a Will McClay hears that quote and appreciates it.
I kind of feel like that, like when the early 2000s, he wasn't a very good general manager.
He doesn't know that you have to have a GOAT quarterback or you have to play games with your salary cap to win it. He doesn't know that, you know, that's a rule.
He
doesn't know that you have to be able to stop the run and run the ball against good defenses in January. Because he keeps showing up with teams that are incapable of doing that and being like, yep, I guess our quarterback didn't play well enough.
Yeah, but he puts a lot of faith in that quarterback. He sure does.
As a general manager, that's a misevaluation. He looks at his quarterback like he's an elite Pat Mahomes.
I think you're about to get your wish. I think you're about to get your wish on this quarterback being gone.
I would much prefer the GM to be gone than the quarterback because I think a lot of GMs could win a Super Bowl.
GM ain't going anywhere.
Oh, he made that very clear today. He ain't going anywhere.
No, he ain't going anywhere. But there are a lot of guys like me that were in this league a long time that are general managers that are doing a horse-ass job right now. A lot of them.
Yes. Yeah, but they're not stepping out and saying, I'm the best and nobody's doing it better and I'm the guy.
They can't say they're the best because they've done a horse-ass job. And if you want to believe that Jones has overall done a horse-ass job, I can't change your mind on that. Yeah. But the wins and losses, You know, that's what they measure these guys on. Championship, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what I love
I
to see.
I think for this organization, Broadus, and you being a season ticket holder from day one, it's a championship type of
it is. It
bar.
Absolutely
and you're
is.
Giving them, you're giving
I'm
them
not,
confetti for divisions.
I'm not.
Where two of the
I'm
four
not,
teams
no,
suck
I'm not.
So
I'm just
bad
saying,
every year.
He's got a right to say that he's one of the better general managers because there's a lot of guys in this league that suck at it. He's done a good job because he listens to his people. He didn't listen to us in 2000s. He got better as a general manager because he's found a way to hire some talented people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. You know, watch what happens when, and God forbid he, you know, that he's no longer here with us. Watch what Stephen Jones potentially does with Will McClay. Now you might see some like kind of a general manager action here. But right now it is what it is.
All righty, good conversation and some real entertaining quotes there from Jerry Jones. Just standing on it, I would hope to see some signs of sobriety in there. I do recognize they do some things great, and that's what makes it frustrating. There's not a lot to go, but the teams that are getting it done have more of a modern visionary and more of a risk reward than a trying to manage it steady Eddie with the salary cap, and I just can't see it coming together. That's why I'm frustrated. I don't think it's possible for the foreseeable future. Okay, when we come back, it's time for a Chris Young show. We'll talk with the Rangers GM about it next year.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
G-Bag Nation. All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for the Chris Young Show. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankofirm.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And the CY Show is brought to you by PlayScore and by Anheuser-Busch. And a good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm well. How are you all?
We're doing well. Thanks. What's it kind of like to be battling to keep it together and defend the title, and then there's a point where it doesn't seem super doable anymore, and maybe the pressure is relieved? Have you reflected on that at all?
Well, not necessarily in terms of a positive way and of the pressure relief. I don't know if it ever really fully ceases, given that, you know, I hope that our guys are highly competitive and, you know, whether it's for the team or themselves individually, that they want to finish strong and kind of put a good finish together on a season that hasn't gone our way. But I think more so just for me, the idea that we're not going to be playing in October and our fans are not going to be able to watch October baseball, that part has been disappointing for me and certainly has kind of hit home for me recently. I just think about how much fun last October was and how awesome it was to see the entire Metroplex into it and supporting our team, and to know that this year we're going to fall short of that goal. But ultimately it's motivating. It's very motivating, and I'm disappointed, as I said, and so I want to make sure we get back there.
So where does your competitive focus turn to then?
Well, everything that we need to do to evaluate our current group of players who are under contract into 2025, and then also our minor leaguers, and then making sure that we've got our scouts deployed throughout the league, looking at players whose contracts may be coming up and potential trade candidates as well. So there's a ton of work to be done here these last 5 weeks, and we're certainly working very hard as a front office to make sure that we are prepared going into the off season.
Hey, Chris, you know, when you're talking about the evaluation, and I know I asked you last week, too, about, you know, staff and things like that, and you said you're very, very happy with that. Is there anything when you sat down, I know you have every season is kind of different, but when you had it on your legal pad, are there things that you thought, okay, this is my stand, this is what I have to do, that now you maybe think, okay, maybe I was a little wrong about this or that when it came to how you got ready for the season?
Well, I think one of the things that really stood out to me last offseason is we talked about our team being younger and more athletic, but there was a moment when we sat together as a front office and we wrote really 9 veteran names on the board that were part of the 2023 team, some of whom weren't on the playoff roster, some of whom really weren't significant on-field contributors, but all of whom contributed in the clubhouse in terms of creating a real stable environment and sort of a veteran calmness that exists. And I didn't take for granted that in the off season, but I also recognized that we were, you know, we had some younger, more athletic players who were probably a little bit more cost controllable, so to speak. And with that, we felt like our team was, the roster was going to improve and the team would be better. But I didn't take for granted, you know, those veteran players and their contributions. And as I look back and reflect a little bit, I think we certainly have missed some of those veterans. And, you know, maybe it was just a necessary step that we had to take in terms of giving so many young guys opportunity and playing time, which I think has been great for their development. And I think we're going to benefit from that long term. However, losing so many key veteran players, not again in terms of the on-field performance, but in terms of the clubhouse, I think, you know, certainly had an impact.
Chris, was the, you know, and you'll never use an excuse. I've just getting to know you here the last couple of years, getting to talk to you. You'll never use an excuse. But was there a time where the injuries, just the taxing of that every single day became too much?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Every team can only withstand so many injuries. And we certainly had a lot to some key members of our team, especially on the position player side, losing Josh Young in the 4th game of the season. And then Evan Carter shortly thereafter, maybe a month after that. Those were two important, critical pieces for our team this year. And to lose both those guys for extended periods really hurts. And so you combine that with maybe some guys underperforming and having, you know, years below what they gave us last year. It's a tough combination to recover from. So I can't downplay the injuries. I'm not going to say they're excuses. I think good teams overcome the injuries, and we weren't able to do that. I think we did that last year. But I think we reached a point where we needed significant overperformance from a number of players to overcome the injuries we had. And we just didn't get that, which is part of, you know, part of a baseball season. Every season, players aren't going to have their best season. So this was one of those years that was more of a down year for us.
What have you seen from Wyatt Langford in center field?
You know, Wyatt looks pretty good out there. I've been impressed with him. He certainly, you know, one, hasn't been afraid of the position, even with limited reps. And two, seems to be pretty comfortable from what I've seen. We'll continue to evaluate him out there and get him more exposure there. Obviously, if he can play a quality center field moving forward, that helps our organization immensely.
Hey, Chris, you know, you have such tremendous faith in your roster and your players, and you believed, you know, all throughout, and that never wavered. Is that something that maybe, is that a lesson, or is that something that Chris Young will continue to do throughout his tenure as a general manager, always just have that utmost faith in the roster he's put together?
Well, I think there's a balance, right? And I'm always going to believe in our players. I think it's our job to create an environment where if a player is wearing a Texas Ranger uniform, we're going to give him our best and we're going to believe in him and we're going to be convicted that that player can reach his full potential. So that's extremely important, and I will always do that. I know how hard this game is. I know what these guys go through. I have great empathy for the challenges that they face. And, you know, but I think there's also a balance of being realistic as to when a player is no longer reaching that potential or recalibrating what that potential is. And that's just part of a natural job of a front office.
It's the Chris Young Show here on The Fan. So what were your takeaways from getting to see DeGrom throw, and what are you hoping to see tomorrow?
Yeah, Jacob looked great. I was there in Frisco and he looked great. First two guys got base hits on fastballs, and then Jacob started mixing in some off speed, and they didn't touch him. So, but most importantly, what I saw was a player who was relaxed, happy. You could tell physically he was feeling fine. He wasn't stressed. He was just enjoying the moment, and to see that smile on his face and seeing him out there competing, it was really, really satisfying for me. And I'm hopeful that it was gratifying for Jacob as well. He deserves so much credit for how hard he's worked to put himself in this position. And, you know, looking forward to seeing him build off that tomorrow night, and then we'll kind of reevaluate and see what the next step is.
Do the minor leagues now take more of your focus or attention here? I mean, there's a lot of interesting storylines happening down there right now.
No, it is. And that's one of the things that I think is a positive, is that I can spend a little more time focused on the minor leagues, and I'm looking forward to continuing to do that. But we have a lot of good things happening in the system, and looking forward to seeing these guys finish strong and putting themselves in a good position for 2025 at their respective levels.
Now, how about up above you? Does this organization need to do anything else to convince you that they're committed to the future as you look ahead?
Oh, you know, it's something I really haven't considered in terms of just, you know, I think we all came into the season with an expectation to win and compete for another championship. And in terms of that mentality, I don't think anything has changed. So at this point, I can't, you know, I haven't put any thought into the question, aside from knowing that my expectation, I think everybody in our front office's expectation, is to come back and compete for a 2025 world championship.
What type of growth have you seen from Jack Leiter over these last few weeks, and what can we expect, or when could we expect to perhaps see him with the big squad?
Yeah, we'd just like to see Jack continue the success he's had at AAA, continue pitching the same game that he's pitched there that's led to the success. And he may not be quite as dominant, but we still think that he'll be very good at the big league level in terms of his next outing. And Jack has done a tremendous job just getting the reps and the experience, learning himself, learning how his stuff plays, and what he needs to do to get hitters out, upper-level hitters out. And it's the same game. If he comes in and pitches the same game he's pitched at AAA, he'll have success here. And I'm really excited for him to make this start Wednesday and get some runway here at the big league level.
Hey, Chris, you always tell us about, you know, you're around the batting cage, you're in the clubhouse, you're always doing things that, you know, a really good general manager does. How important is it to be that guy, to be that consistent when things might not be going well, for those guys to see you every single day like you do?
Yeah, I try to be the same person, good or bad. Again, I have expectations that are very high and want us to win. But when it isn't going our way, I still want to be supportive. And I also want to, you know, be around to show accountability and sure, demand accountability collectively, that we all have to recognize the results aren't good enough, and we need to continue to look for answers as to how we're going to get better. And that's from me to every member of our front office, to our coaching staff, to our support staff, and to the players, that we all – nobody should be satisfied with the results this season. And so we all need to take a look internally as to what we can do better. And if we each do that collectively, we're going to come back and be better for it.
What's it like out there, especially for the young players who are trying to build a career? You know, the organization defending a World Series championship might not make the playoffs, so there's frustration and disappointment there, but you're out here gunning and scrapping to establish yourself, and you might be excited about a two-hit game or something like this. You know what I'm talking about.
No, that's and what you just described is exactly what these last 5 weeks are about. It's about, there's something to play for every player, whether you're a veteran player that may hit free agency, or you're in arbitration and you want strong numbers to finish the season, or if you're a young player trying to establish yourself, there's a lot left to play for. And also, there's an impact that you can have on the pennant race, which I think, you know, I always took solace in that when I was a player, that I knew, hey, I'm getting a start against a potential playoff team or a team in a playoff race. I can make a difference in this tonight. And so, you know, we want players with what I call a championship mentality who really relish those opportunities. And so I think it's important to find out over the next 5 weeks who's going to step up and continue to play hard through the finish line. And I don't think we have any guys that are going to throw in the towel or not give their best effort. I certainly believe in the character of our club, and I expect that we're going to go out and try to finish strong here and put our best foot forward. And my hope is that September is our best baseball of the season.
Hey, Chris, I know I asked you last week about, you know, the distractions of maybe your contract situation. Any updates there? Are talks planned potentially after the season, or are there any talks going on right now to try and get you extended?
Yeah, no, guys, I appreciate it. I'm keeping those private for now. I think it's in the best interest of the organization, and trying not to get distracted by anything in terms of the team finishing strong. And but I appreciate you asking, and at some point there'll be resolution, and when that comes, I'll talk more about it.
Yeah, at any time if you go public and you want a cheering section, yeah, and everybody backing you, we'll all be there.
Guys, I appreciate that. There are days I feel like I need that.
Well, give them hell, man. You're doing a heck of a job. We appreciate you, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Guys, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Great chatting with you.
Salute. The Chris Young Show brought to you by PlayScore and by Anheuser-Busch. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're now just under 45 minutes away from the expressway, about an hour away from L.A. Live with Lucius Alexander. But we got to get Woolchuck's top 10 taken care of, Chief. What's the subject matter looking like?
National Women's Equality Day. I got the top 10 things that men do that women don't like, according to women. Now, what's the thing that you do that's most annoying to your significant other? That's next year in the nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. It's time now for Woolchuck's top 10. And here he is, the Chief, in for Woolchuck.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. Happy National Women's Equality Day. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the top 10 things that men do that women don't like. This according to women. So what is the thing that is most annoying that you do to aggravate your significant other? Maybe you do it on purpose. Maybe you don't. But I'm sure for a lot of us, there's a laundry list of things that we do. And we will get to that list, but I did want to tee up, Carter, the sports fight. There was a lot of sports fights this weekend. I mean, my goodness, we played one earlier. We showed one earlier of a gentleman getting KO'd, being punched upwards of 7-8 times, not spilling a drop of beer. You had a high school brawl, football brawl situation that was pretty crazy. But you also... You also had a female fight in the college world that was pretty impressive. And if you put it up on the fan cam here, this is Rutgers versus UMass women's soccer. This girl, like, she's frustrated. She puts her hair up in a ponytail, and then she goes and just, I mean, it was like a suplex situation because she kind of slide tackles this girl. And one of her teammates gets upset and goes after this, the one who slide tackled. And this girl just picks her up and just slams her to the ground and starts throwing punches. It's a heck of a lady fight going down. One of these girls has a judo background guaranteed.
Yeah, dude, that looks like a Lex Luger type of move.
Very impressive.
With like WWE levels of strength coming into play here.
Getting a lot of breathing on the text line right now of things that you do that annoys your wife or your girlfriend. 214 existing. 785, my wife hates it when I throw my daily contact lenses on the floor when I go to bed. That is a little wild. 254, my wife hates when I scratch my back on the door frame like a bear. That's Farmer John.
Ooh, I like that.
That's a good move.
That from Perry Mason, actually.
Like, what are you supposed to do when you can't reach that spot? Like, otherwise you're going to have to put her to work and she's going to have to scratch it for you, but that's going to tick her off even more probably. Yeah.
She hasn't agreed to that since you started dating years ago.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think I avoid the potholes well enough when I'm driving her car. You know?
Oh, I got you.
Me driving is mandatory wherever we're going. Mm. But I think it's just because she likes the content-rich environment of things she can
complain about.
Yes, exactly. This is going to be amazing. He's going to drive and I'm going to complain. It's
now,
her heaven.
Do you mandate it that you're the driver or does she mandate it?
She does.
She does. Okay. Yeah. I'm definitely the driver when it comes to whenever we're all driving around.
I'm willing
family.
To ride shotgun.
Well, now I get car sick. I mean, you guys have learned that when we go on the road, I can't even do that anymore. So I've lost the ability to do anything but sit behind the wheel. But that's one of the things outside looking in on this list here that things that men do that women don't like, according to women, driving fast and recklessly, some level of driving, the amount of driving bickering that goes on, I think is pretty much through the roof.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, as soon as we pull into a parking lot, it's like she thinks I can't see any parking spots. There's a spot over here. Why didn't you park here?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm like.
It would have saved us five extra steps, walking steps, honey. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You inefficient bleep hole. Brought us? Yeah. I'm sure you know a thing or two about angering the female species.
I tell you what, I always act like my sense of direction is better than theirs. You know, like, always the. I'm driving and they're like, take a right. No. And I just keep going and I'm like, no, I know where this place is. And then I ultimately am wrong. Yeah. and it happens every time. I don't even,
And then you're indignant. You're dug in and you're like, I wasn't wrong. Yeah, they believed me on the GPS.
I think my thing that hacked off my two ex-wives the most was how much I love football. That was the biggest. I think that really pissed them off. That I really
it is annoying. Sometimes.
That I was like, okay, you love this game more than me. That kind of thing.
Yeah, it wasn't faith, family, football. It was football.
Yeah, it was football. is what it was. So yeah, I've been known to. Yeah, that's probably why I'm in the shape I'm in right now.
Lucius, the thing you do. What's your one seed for angering or?
It's
annoying?
Probably two good things.
Yeah.
One, I don't answer any of her questions.
I like that.
Yeah. She has too many of them. They're rapid fire to back to back. And I'm like, oh, I'm out.
Like
yeah.
Bobby Belt kind of like.
Yeah,
case?
It's just too many of them. Just the first thing that comes to her head, she just asks a question. You know what I mean? Where's my keys? What are we watching? That type of thing. Yeah. Like thoughts that need to be yours, they become mine all of a sudden. Yeah. Let's see.
And you go no response on that?
I don't really respond. I just kind of look at it because she'll ask you a question that's like an obvious thing. Like I'll be in the kitchen making a sandwich. Hey, what you doing? Making a sandwich?
How'd you guess it?
Yeah, so I don't know what to say after that because my mouth is real smart. You know, tying your shoes. That's what you're doing, tying your shoes. Jeez. Yeah. And then I think the other one is while she's like chilling, I'll start cleaning up and you can just see her eyes just roll at me because now she feels obligated to do something.
Right.
Yeah, that type of thing.
She thinks you're doing too much. Yeah. You're flexing.
Yeah, sit down. You're making me feel like I'm not doing anything. So what you doing, cleaning?
Wow, did I really make you feel that way?
I would get the, why are you making the sandwich like that? Why are you cleaning like that? You should do it like
that.
Right, yeah. Why do you do it that way?
You're doing it wrong. God, you're an idiot.
Yeah, there's something about logic that angers my wife.
Now, you know how much I love the Zalat's pizza, and they've actually started delivering out to Sunnyvale now, which is amazing.
Oh, that's good.
So the other day, I ticked her off so bad. She was like, will you order some pizza? And I was like, yeah, I'll order some pizza. And for her, that's always Pizza Hut, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's like brought us that way.
So I ordered my Zalat's, and she's like, is the pizza here? I'm like, damn sure is.
Heck yeah, honey. Go check it out.
And I don't know why, but she is like convinced that Zalat's is not as good as Pizza Hut.
Oh, that's a bad take, you know?
That's kind of a little rough take there.
Wow, that's great. And you knew that, and so you did that. I love that. That's fantastic.
I was chuckling the whole time. Yeah. I was like, oh, man, she's going to be so mad. But I'm like, you know, she should be like the rest of us, like, okay, not the pizza I would have ordered. But it's still pizza,
it's still
so let's
pizza.
Go. She didn't eat a single slice out of spite. I was like, oh, a double win.
That is fantastic, dude. Yeah, she treated the Zalat's pizza like it was a vending machine pizza from, from Vegas.
Yeah.
She's like, this is disgusting.
Not even edible.
682, or excuse me, 469.
He's making up area codes over there?
No, well, because one guy's playing a different game here. He's saying he hates it when he's watching the movie and she's on her phone, and then she starts asking questions. But it's not about what you hate, 682. It's about what she hates. It's National Women's Equality Day, dude. Show some damn respect. 214.
Gosh.
Piss women off all the time by not saying left or right, but say north, south, east, and west.
Yes. Yeah. It's on the north side over there. Yeah.
Yeah, the north side. They're like, what are you doing? Why are you wasting my time with these directions? Outside looking in as well. Over-nagging? Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I believe. Even though they're saying negging. Is it negging? N-E-G-G?
No.
Because that's what this says, like negging, but maybe it's nag. I think it's more nagging. That's why I got scared of that word.
Yeah.
We have bragging about social media followers as well as outside looking in things men do that women don't like. Number 10, being extremely loud, and especially while being drunk. That's the Bobby Belt special right there.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely Bobby.
His wife would just walk away.
Yeah, she's learned that.
She's just learned to just go talk to somebody else.
Number nine, being overprotective in a cringy way, they say. It's like what are we supposed to do here? You want us to be protective, but not over, like, not too much. It's like, come on, man. But that gets under their skin. Number eight, being persistent after a rejection. That's a tough line to back, because how many love stories do you see where, yeah, I tried to woo her for months and months and months, and then finally she came around. How do you walk that line of not being, you know, over persistent, a little too crazy stalkerish, but still trying to win the love of the girl that you love?
And if you've been with a gal for any more than like 5 or 7 or 10 years, how often does she agree to bedroom time later on the first request? You know?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I've had that conversation with my wife. It's like I'm used to the rejection now.
Yes.
You know, you build up this thing. Yeah. Where it's like, it doesn't even, you're just like, okay, you just kind of shrug your shoulder. You build up to this point where, honey, yeah, I've been rejected so much now that, no, that doesn't actually bother me. I'm just used to it, okay?
Yeah. I'll ask again in 5 minutes.
I guess I'll put my thing away now.
I did a rejection in my cribs. I'm the one doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah. I can let you see these text messages, and I'm all types of bad names.
Yeah, because let me say no one time, and now all of a sudden
she's
like,
just got bad timing, though. You got bad timing. You wait till like I'm all sweaty or after the gym or something like that. Nah, you know. In the morning, I'm taking my poos, you know what I mean? You want to catch me in between pools? Nah. You got bad timing, baby.
Incredible, dude.
Yeah, you know incredible. What I mean? And then when I am ready, you stink.
Yeah.
And I said that respectfully. You know, she's been working all day.
Different schedules.
Some guys like that, though.
We have number seven, bragging about how much money they have. Women don't like that. Number six, things you do that women don't like, thinking that they are deep and trying to prove it when they're really just like shallow, but they're trying to come off like they're deep and like intellectual or whatever, introspective or whatever. I guess women don't like that. Number five, trying to prove they are smarter than their partner. That's kind of brought us, I guess, with the direction sometimes. Yeah. Number four, bragging that they don't care about their hygiene and things of that nature. Because they're more manly.
That's gross. Yeah, that's gross.
No. They kind of like it.
I like to smell good. You think they like that?
No.
Some of them do. Someone like really? A manly must.
Oh. I know, you know, they like, I know my girl like sniffs my underarms at times. Out like you're sitting on a couch.
Yeah, yeah, the pheromones.
Oh, you sicko. But yeah, she says she likes
she
it.
She kind of likes it, yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though.
This
dude.
Shirt smells like you. No, this right here on the floor smells like you. Can you pick it up, please?
Yeah, I'm always leaving stuff on the floor, and my wife can't stand it. The cabinets open is another one I'll do.
Ugh.
Sorry, Lucius. Number three, comparing their partner to other people in a supposedly positive way. Ugh. Like most women only want Chads who will treat them like S. I'm happy you're not like that. Or I hate women. That's not the word. That's not the line. Other females are plastic, you know, fake girls who are only out for money. I'm happy you're not a gold digger. And then they take that as like, I hate women, but I'm nice to you because I get to, you know, sleep with you.
You're not trying to take my money.
Number two, refusing to do anything remotely feminine. Like you're the overly manly dude, I guess. And then number one, lying to make themselves look smart. Men do that women don't like on National Women's Equality Day.
Salute to all the ladies out there.
Dawson, you're right. The Jets don't have a kicker. That Zuerlein,
he missed another one?
He missed another
My
one.
My goodness, yeah. Dude. Yeah, I can't believe he's out there stealing money.
Yeah.
We knew Greg he could play 4 years ago.
Man, that thing was a chippy, and he hit that thing dead left. Oh.
I thought when he lost his sponsor there, Bones Fossil, in the building, that it would be curtains for him, but he's he's ruined Jets fans' games now.
Yeah, he might be. The Jets might be looking for a kicker.
Alrighty, Expressway is coming up at 5:20. A big day for the Cowboys. They got CeeDee Lamb under contract. Jerry's out here shooting off at the mouth. We'll give everything a break in the world of sports coming up at 5:20. But in addition to the finest is next, right, Eric?
Yes, sir. We got a couple of coach quotables. One guy sounding like a rookie as a head coach of a NFL franchise. And we also have a quarterback on the move. That's next year in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.